Hello, my name is Chip Lang. You are listening to Total EM. This is podcast number 24, and this is going to be our first podcast after the new year. We are actually going to go back and do something we haven't got to do in a while, and that is talking about randomized control trials and doing a critical review of them. The paper that we're going to go over today is a randomized controlled non-inferiority trial of single dose of oral dexamethasone versus 5 days of oral prednisone in acute adult asthma. So let's start off, as always, with the case. A 24-year-old non-pregnant female comes to your department complaining of wheezing and says she used to have an albuterol inhaler, but it ran out and she does not have a new prescription. She was treated with 2 albuterol treatments in the department with significant improvement. You plan to discharge her home with a prescription for an albuterol inhaler and a steroid. In the past, she has taken a 5-day course of prednisone with relief of symptoms, but she says she often forgets to take the pills on the last couple of days and is asking for an alternative, especially one she could take in the department. Now let's talk a little bit about the background. Acute asthma exacerbations account for more than 2.1 million emergency department visits annually, and in the U.S. affects 8.4% of the population. Current guidelines from the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute recommend a minimum of 5 days of oral prednisone to treat moderate to severe asthma exacerbations, following the 2007 guidelines. Oral amperindrol, dexamethasone, has similar bioavailability, with a duration of action of 72 hours. Previous studies for pediatric asthma have been promising for dexamethasone as an alternative to other treatments, and there has been promise with a 2-dose regimen in adults. The thought is that the simple dosing of dexamethasone versus multi-day dosing of routine medications such as prednisone, there will be a decrease in the rate of relapse if a single-dose medication was used and given in the ED. So, our clinical question, is a single dose of 12 milligrams of oral dexamethasone not inferior to 5 days of oral prednisone in the treatment of adults with mild to moderate asthma exacerbation and preventing relapse? So let's talk about the PICO. Our population is regarding patients aged 18 to 55 years old with a history of asthma presenting to the ED with an acute episode of asthma requiring more than 1 albuterol nebulizer treatment and were discharged home with a valid telephone number for follow-up. There were a lot of exclusion criteria. Main ones that are pertinent are patients less than 18 years old or over 55 years old, the older age limit to help reduce the concurrent COPD possibility, those without a working telephone number for follow-up purposes, pregnant patients, previous allergic reaction to steroids, reported use of oral steroids 2 weeks before presentation, history of chronic respiratory disease such as COPD or pulmonary fibrosis, HIV and AIDS, congestive heart failure, active varicella, active tuberculosis, asthma requiring immediate airway intervention such as non-invasive bilevel airway support or BiPAP, or endotracheal intubation, and those admitted to the hospital. The intervention was 12 milligrams of oral dexamethasone plus a placebo, and the comparison was 60 milligrams of oral prednisone for 5 days. The outcome was relapse, which was defined as an unscheduled return visit to a healthcare provider for additional treatment for persistent or worsening asthma within 14 days. The author's conclusions, a single dose of oral dexamethasone did not demonstrate non-inferiority, basically meaning it was inferior, to prednisone for 5 days by a very small margin for treatment of adults with mild to moderate asthma exacerbation. Enhanced compliance and convenience may support the use of dexamethasone regardless. So let's review the quality checklist for randomized clinical trials. 1. The study population included or focused on those in the ED? Yes. The patients were adequately randomized? Yes. The randomization process was concealed? Yes. The patients were analyzed in the groups for which they were randomized? Yes. The study patients were recruited consecutively, i.e., no selection bias. Yes. The patients in both groups were similar with respect to prognostic factors. No, there were some differences between the two groups, and it is definitely worth going back to the paper to actually kind of see some of the details behind that. All participants, patients, clinicians, outcome assessors were unaware of group allocation. Yes. All groups were treated equally except for the intervention. No, there were some differences such as prescriptions on discharge, and we'll talk about that more below. Follow-up was complete, i.e. at least 80% for both groups. Again, no, there was a large loss to follow-up in the dexamethasone group. Again, we'll discuss this in a few minutes. All patient-important outcomes were considered. Yes. The treatment effect was large enough and precise enough to be clinically significant. No. So let's go over the key results. 173 patients receiving dexamethasone and 203 receiving prednisone completed the study regimen and telephone follow-up. The dexamethasone group, by a small margin, surpassed the present 8% difference between groups for non-inferiority in relapse rates within 14 days. 12.1% versus 9.8%, an absolute difference of 2.3% with a 95% confidence interval of -4.1% to 8.6%. Subjects in the two groups had similar rates of hospitalization for their relapse visit. Dexamethasone 3.4% versus prednisone 2.9%, an absolute difference of 0.5%, 95% confidence intervals of -0.41% to 3.1%. Adverse effect rates were generally the same in the two groups. So let's talk about some key points of debate. People were only enrolled if they received multiple breathing treatments. Now, this may have missed some patients who could have still been candidates. Many who come to the ED with asthma exacerbation will still receive a steroid even if they only received one treatment in the department of albuterol. Others may be missed because patients could have refused to receive multiple treatments, something that we occasionally see in my own department. Some patients could have qualified because of age, but may still have COPD even though they tried to exclude based on age. Keep in mind that some people may not have been treated effectively given the confounder of COPD, and there's also the concern for other pulmonary diseases that may not yet have been diagnosed or be misdiagnosed as asthma, such as COPD. There are potential differences in prognostic factors and how the two groups are treated differently, an example being inhalers prescribed. Almost twice as many patients in the prednisone group, 54 versus 30 participants, received a prescription of inhaled steroids on discharge. A significant number of people in the dexamethasone group were lost to follow-up. Approximately 24% of the dexamethasone group was lost to follow-up, and approximately 15% for prednisone. This led to an almost 20% loss of follow-up in total. This limits the validity of the study and its results. Additionally, telephone follow-up carries a risk of bias. Recall bias influences the results of the study as people then answer questions later by telephone. This also limits the ability to reassess the patient and their current condition without a physical examination. The study may have limited value as a single center and with the way the medications were prescribed. So for this point, the multi-center study would have been a better option than a single center study, as single center studies have a limited ability to generalize results. It is also worth mentioning that all the medications were given in the department. That's either for the placebo or the prednisone packet. Even then, 8.7% of the prednisone arm did not finish their medication, whereas previous studies demonstrate up to 20% of people do not fill their prescription. Another study showed that adherence at 7 days for such medications was found to be only 50%. A single dose of medication would eliminate prescription adherence barriers previously demonstrated in other studies, such as forgetfulness, cost, and dose omission. This is a key point, as most places will not provide 5 days of medication free, and apparently if they did, it would still not have perfect compliance, as the 8.7% demonstrates. When talking about a single dose alternative, there are many alternatives to consider, such as intramuscular combinations of dexamethasone 10 mg and methylprednisolone acetate 80 mg, or some variation thereof. But the reason why I like to bring up this last point is that if you were to include methylprednisolone acetate in addition to the dexamethasone, you have a shorter and a longer acting steroid. And for some of these outcomes, like the 14-day relapse, this would probably be less likely to be an issue compared to 5 days of prednisone. Now, again, this is a little bit of contest, and it's hard to find good data on this, but it's just something to consider. So let's go ahead and compare our conclusions. The study is unfortunately limited due to a number of limitations and the considerable loss of follow-up. The negative study is by no means conclusive, but does hold some potential to the applications of dexamethasone in this population. So what's our bottom line? We agree that this study did not demonstrate a single dose of oral dexamethasone to be non-inferior to prednisone for 5 days by a very small margin. However, there is still potential for dexamethasone in the treatment of adults with mild to moderate asthma exacerbation. Further studies with fewer limitations and better compliance are needed, though, to help confirm this hypothesis. So let's go ahead and we're going to resolve our case. You have a detailed discussion with your patient on the risks and benefits of using dexamethasone versus prednisone. With shared decision-making, you discuss how a single dose of dexamethasone may not be enough and that other options such as a 2-day course of dexamethasone or a 5-day course of prednisone could be used amongst other options. After careful review, your patient likes to go home with the 2-day option of dexamethasone as she feels she can remember to take the one additional dose that is required at home. After a dose is dispensed in the department and prescriptions provided, you review your standard return precautions and the patient does well at home. So let's talk about the clinical application of this study. At this time, the data is very limited in adults for a single dose of dexamethasone. However, 2 doses of dexamethasone have been shown to be helpful versus 5 days of prednisone. Until further research can be obtained, alternatives should be considered first before using this option, meaning the single dose of dexamethasone, and only after careful discussion with the patient regarding single dose dexamethasone for acute asthma exacerbation. So what do I tell my patient? You are having an asthma exacerbation, and an important part for treating this is using steroids. We can often give this orally with multiple doses. A new study tried to do a single dose of a steroid known as dexamethasone, but was not able to show it was as effective as 5 days of prednisone. For best effect, we can try 2 days of the dexamethasone or 5 days of the prednisone. If you feel this will not work, we can discuss our options further on the single dose of dexamethasone. Well, that wraps up our study. Thank you for listening to the podcast and reading the blog. Please let me know if there is anything we need to change or improve on. We really want to do whatever we can to make this the best podcast possible. Please email me at thetotaldm@gmail.com or see us at Twitter or Facebook. Don't forget, these days we're also on Libsyn and iTunes. We hope to talk to you soon. Until then, continue to provide total care everywhere.